Morning. Today's Daf in Avodah Zarah is Nun Aleph. We are in Nun Amud Beis. We're starting towards the top of the Amud. We're going to start today with a sugya that has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. It's really a Chol HaMoed discussion. It's a Shvius discussion. It comes up over here just simply because the construct of this, the way the Gemara lays out, is just like the previous Gemara where somebody comes into town, asks them a question. It's really hard. He says, look, I'm not a Talmid Chacham, I'm not the son of a Talmid Chacham, but I think you can answer the question. So the Gemara has almost an identical format. So basically it's the opportunity for the Gemara to put it over here. So the Gemara does put it over here. And so let's begin the Gemara's discussion. This is going to take us through the rest of Amud Beis of yesterday's Gemara. We are towards the top of the Amud with the words Amr of Yosef. Amr of Yosef bar Abba Ikla, Rabba bar Yirmiyahu Asrin. So Rabba bar Yirmiyahu visited the town. And they brought the following brisa in front of him. And the brisa over here is going to be comparing and contrasting avoda that one can do or cannot do on Shemitah year, during the Shemitah year, and avoda that one can and cannot do on Chol HaMoed. Now, obviously, they're very different from one another, but their common denominator is that you're not allowed to do a certain amount of avodas karka. You can't do a certain amount of work on Shemitah and on Chol HaMoed. Obviously, the guiding principles behind the two are different, right? Shemitah, it's really a focus on not the day, and not so much even the labor, but it's avodas karka. In other words, you can't work the land. When it comes to Chol HaMoed, obviously it's a function of the fact that Chol HaMoed is a quasi yontif, and so it's a function of the day. But in any event, though, we're talking about the actual activities, and the Brisa says like this: Matlina Mazim Shviyah. So one is allowed to pluck worms out of a tree during the Shemitah year, and also Zehum. So again, these are kinds of farm practices which, you know, I'm urban. I'm not the farmer. You know that already. So so I just read Rashi, and I'll translate the Rashi. But I've never seen this done. Mazim and Rashi explains, Kshesh Makabi Ilan, there's a certain wound on the tree, Venishrik Sas Klipaso, and so some of the bark is falling off, Madbikin Sham Zevel, so you take some excrement, Vikoshin and Shaloyamos, and basically as like a patch. Right? So it's a patch for the tree, and it keeps it moist and it keeps it alive. So you're allowed to do that in Shemitah, Ve'im Matlin Mazim Memoid. Now, you're not allowed to do that during Chol HaMoed. These activities during Chol HaMoed are prohibited activities. And therefore, one is not allowed to do that. In both cases, you can't do gizum. Basically, it's pruning. Pruning so that what's gonna grow after you prune is gonna be even greater. So basically, pruning is certainly gonna be for tree improvement. Now, you wanna rub a little bit of oil on the area that was just pruned, so that you're allowed to do both on Chol HaMoed and on Shemitah. Now, after reading this braisa, so I don't have a Talmid Chacham, I don't have the son of a Talmid Chacham, I don't know how to answer this. So I'm a Ravinas. Ravinas, in response to this, says, I'm not a Talmid Chacham, I'm not the son of a Talmid Chacham. And quite frankly, it's hard to understand what that means, meaning he is a Talmid Chacham, but okay, whatever. So I'm not a Talmid Chacham, I'm not the son of a Talmid Chacham, but I'm going to explain the braisa. I'll resolve the question. Now, what the Gemara did, just like in the previous case, is that it presented the braisa. It didn't even explain the question. Meaning it's kind of assuming that the reader, us, understand the question. The question wasn't articulated. But in other words, so really we have two things that we need to do. A, we have to articulate what the question is. And then B, once we understand what the question is, then we can answer the question. So my kakashule. So here we go. Step one. What's the question? So the Gemara says, well, maybe you're bothered by the fact that during the Shemitah year it's permitted, and during Chol HaMoed it's prohibited. So the Gemara says, but I don't see that as being a kasha altogether. Because during Shemitah year it is malacha that's prohibited, meaning it's the actual physical activity that's prohibited. Exertion on Shemitah, Torah doesn't care about exertion. Meaning again, because Shemitah, it's not about the day, it's not about Kedusha Sayom, it's about the land. So in other words, there are certain activities and one is prohibited to do for the land, but only because it has to do with the land. But if it's just a function of exertion, so that's fine. But Moed Afilo Tirchan Amiyasa, but on Chol HaMoed, again, it's quasi-yontif. It's a day of rest. So again, quasi-rest. But still, quasi-rest means that the Chachamim were not only concerned about malachas which are prohibited, but also exertion as well. So the Gemara says, so being that, seeing the difference between Chol HaMoed and Shemitah, the Gemara says, that's easy. So, Ella, Zema Gizem Kakashile, but the Gemara says, yeah, but that wasn't the question. Meaning, we knew that already. The problem was, is that there were activities. Zehum, that's applying oil, and Gizem is the pruning. So, Mashna Zem Tashari, Mashna Gizem Dasar. So, oiling the spot that was pruned, that's fine, but actually pruning is prohibited. The Gemara says, me dummy. Zehum Akumi Alana Vishari. So the Gemara says, but again, that question doesn't bother me as well. Because if we're just talking about oiling the spot, so that is, oiling the spot is just to perpetuate the tree. Meaning it's not to improve the tree, it's just so that the tree exists. Gizem ivrui ilan v'aser. But when you're pruning, you're actually making an improvement in the tree, and that's going to be prohibited. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you my question is based on the following. Matlino mazim b'shvius. So we learned together that you can take the worms out and you could do zehum. Zehum was that pasha we described earlier. So you could do these things during the Shemitah year or minu. But the Gemara notes, however, that we have a Mishnah in Shvius. Mazimim esanitayim v'korchen osam v'kotnim osam v'osam lambatin u'mashken osam ad Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah in Shvius talks about activities that one is allowed to do right up until the Shemitah year. Just to understand this a little bit better, there's a Tosefah Shemitah, meaning just like on Shabbos, not just like, but similar to Shabbos, where Shabbos you have what's called Tosefah Shabbos, where we are expected to not only observe Shabbos, but we have to add a little bit on the front end and on the back end. We have to be Mosif ala Shabbos, and you know our Minhagim vary in terms of when we light Shabbos Licht. We light it 18 minutes before, Yerushalayim 40 minutes before, but in other words, but we are expected to take on Shabbos a little bit early. Tosefah Shabbos. Shemitah, similar idea. Right, that you add on to the Shemitah year. So how long do you add on? You add a month. There's an interesting Rashi right here on the daf. Rashi over here writes that this is a din d'rabbanan, that we're going to be adding on to the Shemitah year by 1 month. Okay. Memory serves me. I think others disagree with Rashi in terms of whether this is a din d'rabbanan or a din d'oraisa, but in any regard, the Mishnah tells us that I could do these activities, and again, just for the sake of time, I'm not going to explain all these activities. Rashi takes us through all these different activities, but the point is, here, the words to be focusing on in the Mishnah that we just learned together is that you do Zehum, that's that patch we described earlier, and you could do it ad Rosh Hashanah, up until Rosh Hashanah, meaning even during the 1 month where you're generally not allowed to do activity because of Tosefah Shemitah, but you can do this activity up until Rosh Hashanah. So, ad Rosh Hashanah in B'Shvi'as Lo. Now, a simple diak in the Mishnah, it's a glaring diak in the Mishnah, is that you can only do it up until Rosh Hashanah, but you can't do it beyond Rosh Hashanah, meaning during the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to make the patch. So, Vidilma, so the Gemara says, so, we learned in the Brisa that was presented on the top of the whole Sugya, is that patching on Shemitah during the Shemitah year is permitted. And the Mishnah Shvia says, no, it's only permitted up until Rosh Hashanah, but during the actual Shemitah year itself, you can't. So that's called the stira, and that could be the question. But the Gemara says, Vidilma kid Rav Ukva v'Rachama, Dama Rav Ukva v'Rachama, Trey Kush Kushke Yave, Chal Evru Ilan v'Aser, Chal Estu Mepila v'Sharei. So the Gemara says, look, in terms of hoeing, so there are different types of hoeing. There are different levels of hoeing. There's one hoeing which is there to strengthen the tree and improve the tree, and that's going to be prohibited. And there's a hoeing where, let's say there's a little hole in the ground, and I just want a hoe so I can cover the hole so that the roots are not exposed, and that's for maintenance, and that's okay. In other words, again, the difference between improving and just simple maintenance. Hachanami trezi, himume have, chalukumi eleve shar v'chal vrui ilan v'aser. So over here, in terms of a patch, there's a patch for maintenance and there's a patch for improvement. So I could just simply say that our brice on the top of the Amud that allows for patchwork on a tree, that's maintenance, and that's why it's mutter. The Mishnah in Shvius is talking about putting a patch on for improvement, and that's going to be aser. So again, none of this bothers me. So right now, we're looking for the question, the unanswerable question. So for every question that we've laid out from the brisa is perfectly answerable. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's talk now about oiling up the tree. Now you remember in the brisa on the top of the Amud, we talked about applying oiling to the pruned area, where the brisa said that was allowed. On the other hand, here we go, let's learn another Mishnah. Well, first let's review the Mishnah, the brisa on the top of the Amud. So the Brice on the top of the Amud said that we could apply oil to the pruned area. And you can do this during the Shemitah year. You can also do this on Chol HaMoed. These are maintenance activities and they're perfectly fine. Urim Minhu. And the Gemara is bothered because here we go with another Mishnah from Shvius. That one is allowed to rub oil on the just developing fruit. And you can even put holes on it and insert oil into it. And these must have been techniques in terms of really helping out the fruit in terms of its growth. And you can do so up until Rosh Hashanah. And again, the diuk is really easy. Ad Rosh Hashanah in b'shvi'as lo. That means up until Rosh Hashanah, but not beyond Rosh Hashanah, meaning not during the Shemitah year. So again, but the answer, you probably saw it coming. Midam, the Gemara says, are not comparable. Hachel kumi ilana v'shari asam patum epeira v'asar. The Gemara says again, for tree maintenance, that you're allowed to do during Shemitah year. If it is improving the fruit and fanning of the fruit, that is going to be prohibited and that you're not allowed to do. Amle Rav Sama Bered, Rav Ashla Ravina Bar Yimya, Sicha Demoed Azem Demoed Kakashile. So the Gemara says, okay, all these questions that we've asked and answered are not the unanswerable questions. Obviously, they're not unanswerable. We have answered every one of them. The question that is disturbing us is really actually the Chol HaMoed issue. Because we said Sicha on Chol HaMoed versus Zeum on Chol HaMoed. So Michti, Hai Ukumi Vai Ukumi. So the Gemara says really both of them are for maintenance. Maishna Hai Deshari, Maishna Hai Deasar. So, and if you look back at the bright side, so you'll note that certain maintenance activities on Chol HaMoed are allowed, notably the Zeum. Sorry. Zeum is prohibited on Chol HaMoed, but if it is, if it's sicha would be okay on Chol HaMoed, and that too is only for maintenance. So Haina de Kamalei Leis Nagavlo Banagar de Parkina. Gemara says that's the unanswerable question. Basically, it wasn't the Shemitah issues. The Shemitah issues we were able to resolve. It's Chol HaMoed. Some activities on Chol HaMoed are prohibited, some are permitted, and they're both effectively just for the purposes of maintenance of the tree. And why should one be okay? Why should one should not be okay? Gemara says on that, that question remains unanswered. Okay. That took us away from the Masechta for just a little bit. We're back to the Masechta, and we're back to learning about Hilchos Avodah Zarah. And here's the point that we are now on one of the central points of Avodah Zarah, and that is Avodaso. How do you serve the Avodah Zarah? So, and this discussion comes up in the beginning of the fourth paragraph of Avodah Zarah, because we're talking about Markulis. Markulis is the most unusual Avodah Zarah in which you take stones and you throw it at a pile of stones. Okay? And that is the way they worship this particular Avodah Zarah, and so therefore Avodah Zarah. That's the way to worship it, and that, therefore one would be liable for throwing stones at this particular pile, if the intent, of course, is to be over to Avodah Zarah. We obviously have a prescribed way that we are Ovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. And so it involves, generally, an animal, shechting the animal, collecting the blood in a bowl, sprinkling the blood onto the Mizbeach, basically Seder Kachim. Okay, and Parshios, and the Parshios of Vayikra and Tzav. Okay, so basically, we have a particular avodah in which we do. Here's what we're about to learn together, and I'll just, give a general synopsis, and then we'll see all of it inside. If you have these unusual avodah zarahs, like throwing stones at a rock pile, or throwing a stick at a particular avodah zarah, which we haven't yet seen that as their avodah zarah, but I'm just, if it's unusual, so there really actually are two ways in which one can serve that avodah zarah. Obviously, none of this is condoned, it goes without saying. But if one wants to talk about an effective way to be over the Avodah Zarah, one that is halachically recognized, so you can go in one of two paths. Either you can go in the way that it is prescribed in that specific scenario, meaning you could throw the stone at the Markulis and that would be considered Avodah, or you can mimic the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's Ein Avodah Sabekach, even though that's not the way it's generally done. But you can shecht an animal and worship in such a manner. And shecht the animal towards this particular avodah zarah. And even though ein avodasa bekach, but since this is a base hamikdash recognized avodah, so one would be liable for that as well. Okay, those two parts are just general assumptions going into the discussion, And now what we're going to be engaged in is in the following discussion. How much can we stretch the imagination in terms of what looks like avoda in the Beis HaMikdash? Now, at this point, that what I just said may not be super clear, but stay with me, stay with the Gemara, and you'll understand exactly what I mean in terms of stretching the imagination. So let's say that you have a particular avodah zara where it involves stick. Now, what do we do with the stick? So Rashi says over here that we're talking about shaking a stick at the avodah zara, kishkush. Okay, now the reason why Rashi says that, you will see very clearly in the Gemara why Rashi arrives at that conclusion. But now, assuming that the way to be over this particular avodah zara is through kishkush, through shaking the stick, what do you do? Shavar makom b'fanav chayev. If you take the stick and you break it in front of the avodah zara, so one is going to be chayev. Zarek makom b'fanav pater, but if you throw the stick at the avodah zara, you're going to be pater. Now, pater meaning that you're not going to, it's not capital crime. Certainly, it's not recommended. It pater means pater aval asr. You're certainly not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to worship in any manner. But in other words, but you're not going to be subject to the legal penalty of avodah zara. Now, what's the difference between breaking the stick versus throwing the stick at the avodah zara? So Rashi explains, as we'll see pretty clearly in the Gemara, but Rashi explains like this. When you're breaking the stick, so now what does that look like? It looks like shechita. Again, it requires a little bit of an imagination, a little stretching of the imagination, but basically when I'm shechting, I'm basically doing is separating one limb of the animal from another. Now, of course, even in shechita, that's not totally true. I mean, you're just making an incision across the neck of the animal. The head is still connected to the body of the animal, but still, to a certain degree, I'm severing the two. Okay. It's not a decapitation.
But it leads to decapitation.
Okay.
Okay.
But again, okay, good. So in other words, so what we're doing now is we're just simply stretching the imagination. So I'm basically now beginning the process of separating the two. When I break the stick, so very similarly, I am now basically taking one part of the stick and separating from the other part of the stick. So it's domeh l'shechita, it looks like shechita. And therefore, you're going to be chayev. However, if I throw the stick at the avodah zara, what is that similar to in the Beis HaMikdash? Nothing. And it's, hold it. What he said is what the Gemara is about to say. So I'm just setting us up. So when you're throwing the stick at the avodah zara, so what is that similar to? It's not similar to anything. And therefore, you're going to be potter. So Amalei Abai LaRava. So Abai says to Rava, look, right now we are stretching the imagination. So, I don't understand. If you're telling me that breaking the stick is dom l'shchita, so I'll tell you that throwing the stick is dom l'zrika sadam. In other words, one of the avodas in the Beis HaMikdash is after collecting the blood from the animal in a bowl, you then take the blood and you go over to the mizbeach and you sprinkle it onto the mizbeach. So can we say throwing the stick is similar to the sprinkling of the blood? Amalei b'ina zrika mishtaberes v'leika. No. When you sprinkle blood, it's a liquid. So that means that what happens is it scatters all over the place. I need that kind of effect. When I'm throwing a stick, I'm throwing a single unit, and it remains a single unit. It doesn't splatter. Ace face, so the Gemara says, okay, well, I'll ask you the following question based on the following brisa. So let's say, most unusual and honestly disturbing ways to be over the avodah zarah. Let's say you feed it some feces, or let's say you give it some urine. You feed it urine. So under those circumstances, you are going to be chayev. Now, ask the Gemara. Top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Bishlama Avishol Meimei Reglaim Ika Zrika Mishtaberez. So you know the bowl of urine that you poured onto the Avodah Zarah. Okay, that looks like Zrika Sadam. In fact, it's liquid. So I understand. In other words, it's not much of a stretch. We're just simply moving from urine to blood. But in terms of how it looks like Zrika Sadam. But if it's an excrement, then the Gemara right now, assuming that's a solid piece of excrement, so that's not Zrika. So the Gemara says, Ika b'tsoa lecha. So the Gemara says, okay, but in other words, you assume that it was solid excrement. It could be a liquid excrement. And under those circumstances, it does in fact look like a sprinkling of Zrika Sadam. Okay, so here's what Rav Yudah Merav is teaching us, and that is that when you have a scenario in which I'm doing an avoda to the avoda zara, which can be at least looked at like an avoda that's done in the mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash, so then one would be chayv. The breaking of the stick is like shechita. throwing a liquid at the Avodah Zarah, even if it's not blood, even if it's some other bodily waste, but if it's a liquid, so that's like Zrikas Adam. Fine. And therefore, under those circumstances, one would be Chayiv. Lema Ketanai, the Gemara says that perhaps this point is subject to a Machlokas HaTaim. Consider the following. Shakala Chagav. So, you now go over to Avodah Zarah. Rashi writes on the top of the Amud, Chol Avodas Kocham Sheba Olam, any Avodah Zarah, and Bein Darka, Bein Ein Darka Bekach, whether this is the way it's worshipped or whether it's not. And what do? I take a grasshopper and I shecht the grasshopper towards the Avodah Zarah. Now, okay, grasshoppers, some of them we're allowed to eat. Even as we're allowed to eat grasshoppers, like fish, they do not require shechita. In other words, they have to be dead, that's all. But in other words, they do not require shechita. So shechting a grasshopper is, to say the least, unusual, as it doesn't require shechita. But you're shechting a grasshopper. Now, all we have to do over here is stretch the imagination a little bit. It's like shechting an animal. It's not shechting an animal, but it's certainly like, and over here we're talking about a creature. So over here, it's not even much of a stretch of the imagination. So, and Rabbi Yehuda Merav says that in terms of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in terms of what creates a liability, even if it's something which is not exactly the same, but as long as it's similar, so that's now going to count as a liability. And meanwhile, what are we about to learn together in this Braisa? Machlokas HaTanaim. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayv, Rabbi Yehuda says under those circumstances you're going to be Chayv v'Chacham and Poacher. And the Chachamim say that you're going to be exempt. So, Maila B'Hakim Iflagi. What is that issue over here? Gemara says, it's very simple. I think I know. What's that issue over here is, do we accept the premise of Rabbi Yehuda Merav or do we not? So over here, are we stretching the imagination? Is this Ke'en Zvicha? So one says yes and the other says no. So the Gemara says, Ela, Ke'en Pinim, Lo. I'm sorry, Ke'en Zvicha, Ela, Ke'en Pinim. So in other words, and according to the Chachamim, the only time that you're going to be liable for being over the Avodah Zarah is only if it's a bona fide animal or a bird, which also requires a shechita. Although with a bird, it's a little bit tricky, by the way, because in the Beis HaMikdash, we do shechita, but we do it from the other side. In other words, we do what's called malika. Okay, so by a bird, it's a little bit different, but still. By a bird and an animal, there's something called shechita. By grasshopper, it's not shechita. And l'chora, the explanation, the machlokas between Rabbi Yehud and the Chachamim is basically, are we allowed to stretch the imagination? And what really now calls into question is, Rabbi Yehud and Merav, who says that we are allowed to stretch the imagination, well, right now, seemingly the Chachamim are not agreeing with him.
What do you do
shechita
with a stick?
Well, that's exactly the point. Sure. Meaning, if shechita with a stick is considered an avoda, shechita with a grasshopper is also considered an avoda, and that would subscribe to the opinion of Yehuda. The problem is, the Chachamim don't agree with that. And that's a problem. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara over here resolves it. Now, it's an interesting resolution, because what the Gemara now is saying is, nobody holds like this. Now, if you're defending Rabbi Yehuda Merav, which I thought the Gemara was trying to do, so you'd say something like, no, everybody agrees with Rabbi Yehuda Merav. But right now, with the Gemara setting up the Machlokas, nobody agrees with Rabbi Yehuda Merav. Meaning, the fact remains is that if it's Ein Avodasa Bekach, if this is an unusual way to worship it, and in order to be liable, it has to be Shechita, bona fide Shechita. So if it has to be bona fide Shechita, so over here we're talking about a grasshopper. V'shani Chagav Hol V'tzavro Dom L'tzavro Behema. Over here, however, even though you're right, a grasshopper does need a shechita. But it is a creature, it has a neck, so in other words, anatomically, at least it's really easy to compare. I know that a grasshopper doesn't require shechita, but at least anatomically, we're in the same building. We're probably even in the same room together, right? And having a grasshopper and having an animal. So over here, so as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, he says that you're going to be chayiv. But once you're moving beyond a creature, once you're talking about a stick, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell you, breaking the stick is not shechita, and you're not going to be chayiv if the avoda is not done in that manner. Okay, so really, it really is a strange ending to the Gemara, in that, in defense of Rabbi Yehuda Merav, the Gemara is basically saying, oh, that braisa? Nobody holds like Rabbi Yehuda Merav. So then, it is a strange ending, because then, we have now a member of Rabbi Yehuda Merav, a braisa where now neither opinion is subscribed to his viewpoint, and then who is he following like? Okay, It's an awkward way to end the discussion, but the Gemara does end the discussion right here. We move on. Amrav Nachman, Amrav Abaravu, Amrav Avos Kocham Sheovnim Osa B'Makel. Let's say you have an Avodah Zarah where the service is done through a stick. Shavar Makel B'Fanech Chayev Neseres. Zarek Makel B'Fanech Chayev Ve'Eino Neseres. So if I break the stick in front of it, and let's say over here Rashi changes the parameters, and he has to, meaning you'll see why it's so clear the parameters have to be changed. In this particular Avodah Zarah, what's the method of worship? Zrika. Zrika is the method of worship over here. As opposed to previously, we talked about where shaking the stick was a method of worship. And again, you'll see why that point is very clear from the Gemara. So here, if I take the stick and throw it, I'm sorry, let's start off with breaking. If I take the stick and break it, so you are now officially an Oved Avodah Zarah, and the stick itself is going to be Aser. It's going to be prohibited. However, if you throw the stick in front of it, so on one hand, you're going to be chai because avodaso bekach, that's the manner in which it's worshipped. However, as far as the stick is concerned, the stick is not going to be aser. Now again, what are we talking about over here? We're talking now about takrovis avodah zarah. When you have something being offered to the avodah zarah, that offering to the avodah zarah now has a status. And as
Rabbi Yehuda also, huh? Isn't the same kind of logic as Rabbi Yehuda that he's like doing something that's sort of symbolic, resembling?
That's the point I'll get to in just a moment. So we're talking about Takrovis Avodah Zarah, we're talking about an offering to Avodah Zarah. We have learned together, Takrovis Avodah Zarah, first of all, in a certain degree, it actually may be more chamer than the actual Avodah Zarah itself. We learned together already that by Takrovis Avodah Zarah, it's not subject to bittul. In other words, you can't repudiate it. Once it's Takrovis Avodah Zarah, that's it. Its status remains there forever. We also learned together that in terms of Tumah, it actually may be a higher level of Tumah, and maybe Tumas Oel, as opposed to the Avodah Zarah itself, which is only either Tumas Maga or Tumas Maga and Masa, which we learned earlier as well. But anyway, over here we're talking now about whether something can become Takrovis Avodah Zarah. So, here's now what we're learning together. If throwing a stick is the manner in which it's worshipped, so fine. So when the person throws a stick at the Avodah Zarah, he's an Oved Avodah Zarah. But the stick itself is not considered Takrovis. Avodasa Bekach. The only thing that gains the status of Takrovis Avodah Zarah is only when it mimics and is modeled of something that we do in our Beis HaMikdash. So if you're shechting to the Avodah Zarah, the animal that was shechting now is Takrovis Avodah Zarah. But by throwing a stick, or as we'll see in just a moment, by throwing the stone at the markless pile, so the stone itself is not going to have the status of Takrovis Avodah Zarah. However, if you break the stick now becomes Takrovis Avodah Zarah. And for the reason which Ben just explained. Because when you're breaking the stick now, remember, Rav Yehuda Merav says we're allowed to stretch the imagination. Breaking the stick now is Doma L'Shechita, and since it's Doma L'Shechita, so therefore now it's as if I shechted the stick. I know we have to stretch the imagination a little bit to say that, but let's stretch it. We're now shechting the stick, and now it's Takrovis Avodah Zarah.
We throw blood, no? We don't throw blood on the...
We also do that as well, but we also shecht. Meaning any activity that we do is considered an avodah. Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman Maishna Shavadah Havilei Kein Zvicha Zarek Nami Havilei Kein Zvicha. So I don't understand. So when you break a stick, that is like Zvicha, and when you sprinkle, and when you throw the stick, isn't that like Zvicha? Amalei Bina Zvicha Mishtabaras Valeika. So the Gemara, and you saw this answer coming because it's the second time we're seeing this answer. No, when you're throwing the stick, you can't call that Zrika. Zrika is a liquid. And when you're throwing a stick, it's not a liquid. So it's not Zrika Hamishtaberis. So it doesn't splatter. Elamiata, I've named Beis Markulis, Bamei Ye Asr. So the Gemara says, okay. So let me ask you a question. The stones of the Beis Markulis, why should they become Asr? Now remember, how does the Markulis work? It is a simple pyramid, two stones on the bottom, one stone on top of it. And then the worship itself, the avoda, is I stand there at a distance and I throw a stone at it. So, right now, how do you view the stone that's being thrown at it? The original 2-1 configuration, that's the avoda zara itself. That's the chetzah shel avoda zara. Now, me throwing the stone, isn't that takrovis? But again, now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the throwing of a stone. That we don't have anything like that in the Beis HaMikdash. The stones that are thrown on top of it should not become usr. Because it's like not Takrovis Avodah Zarah. Huh?
Like Zlika, but it's not Mishtaberis.
Right. So it's not, in other words, so they should not gain the status of Tekrovas of Odazara. However, starting the Perek, it was assumed and presumed that when you have a pile of stones of Markulis, so in other words, in addition to the original 2-1 configuration, all the stones on top of it are Asa Bahana. And the Gemara basically is wondering, but why should that be? In other words, if the stones are Tekrovas of Odazara, then they're not Asa Bahana, because there's no such model of throwing a stone in the base of Mikdash. So he says, you know, that's a really good question. And I also had the same question. So the question gets bounced around until it goes all the way to Rav. So the Gemara says, well, you know what? In other words, what ends up happening is that the stones are actually become part and parcel of the Avodah Zarah itself. Every stone that I add to the pile now is going to become a chefzer shel Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, well, you need to slow down. Because hanich lamanda amar avodas kocham shel avodas kocham nasur miyad. Alamanda amar shetav v'tishtarei. But remember the debate we had once before. Second time now in the Masechta we're having this debate, and that's the following. When does Avodah Zarah gain its status? When you set it up as an Avodah Zarah, or only once you worship it as an Avodah Zarah? So let me ask you now really just a simple and excellent question. When I throw a stone at the Avodah Zarah, you're telling me, well, the reason why the stone becomes usher is because I am now contributing that to part of the deity itself. It's now going to become a chefzer shel Avodah Zarah. Yeah, but it hasn't been worshipped. Meaning all I did is just add the stone to the pile. If you subscribe to the opinion that Avodah Zarah takes on the status of Avodah Zarah, miyad, okay. So then adding it to the pile by itself is enough. But if you subscribe to the opinion that it doesn't become a chefzer shel Avodah Zarah until somebody actually serves it, well, who served it? All you did was just add it to the pile. So, we're going to have two answers to this question. One answer, So, answer number one of the Gemara goes like this. And this is really conceptual. When you take a stone and you're throwing it at the Markulis, that stone actually has a twofold purpose. That is a dual purpose. One is that it's a contribution to the Avodah Zarah, and it itself now will become, not yet, but will become now the actual Chefzer Shel Avodah Zarah. And two is that as I'm throwing the stone, it is a Takrovis Avodah Zarah, meaning the stone that's being thrown right now is serving the pile in of itself. So now, if we can all conceptualize together. So that means that when I throw my first stone at it, so I'm serving the Avodah Zarah, and then when the stone finally gets there, it's going to be part of the Avodah Zarah. But it doesn't become it immediately. When I throw the next stone now is the Takrovis for this Avodah Zarah. So now this pile got worshipped, and the stone now got added will become an Avodah Zarah when it gets worshipped. And with every stone that's being thrown now, each stone has a dual purpose, where it will become an Avodah Zarah, and while being thrown, it's a Takrovis for the current pile. So the Gemara says, now, if you're following now, you're going to ask the Gemara's next question. So the Gemara says, okay, but the last stone now is not yet a Chefzer Shel Avodah Zarah. It was a Takrovis for the existing pile, and everything now in that pile now becomes a Chefza of Avodah Zarah, but that last stone that's being thrown on right now is not yet a Chefza of Avodah Zarah. So Amalei Yada Leizil Shakla. So the Gemara says, good, and so if you know which stone is that last stone that's thrown, so you pluck it off, you take it home with you, and enjoy your new pet stone. Arav Ashi Amar Kol Achas V'Achas Nasa Takrovas La'atma V'Takrovas La'chaverta. And Rav Ashi gives even a more conceptual answer. He says, no. Do you know that when you're throwing the stone, it's not only a takrovis for all the other stones, it's even a takrovis for itself. Okay, that is really super conceptual. Where the stone now can somehow end up being serving not only the other stones, but even serving itself. It's like Gito V'yado Bam Ke'echad. You know, again, the Gemara doesn't say that. I'm only saying it b'derech mashal, but in other words, somehow the stone can not only be used as a service for others, but even as a service for itself. Okay.
Right.
Yes.
What about the concept of kavana before you make an avodah zarah?
Right. So in other words, right. So unlike right. So unlike a carbon where we can actually designate an animal as a carbon well before it actually is going to be offered as a carbon. And it will have, well, in other words, once we're makdish an animal, so immediately it has carbon, rights, legalities, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, by simple verbal designation. And remember also, amira legavoa, kimisira salahejo. Just a simple verbal designation is all we need to give this animal all the statuses of an actual carbon. In avodah zarah, you need practice, meaning nothing will gain status until it's actually served. So in other words, there doesn't seem to be this idea of hektish l'avodah zarah. Doesn't seem to be. Gemara quotes a Mishnah. We will see this Mishnah later in the Masechta. Amatza Barosho, if you find on the top of the avodah zarah, either ksus, maus, o kelim, hare elim mutarim, clothing, money, utensils, fine. In other words, it's not takrofis avodah zarah because we don't have anything like that in the Beis HaMikdash. We're throwing clothing on the Mizbeach. However, if, however, you find either clusters of grapes or kernels of wheat or oil, wine. Sorry, let me go in the right order. Wine, oil, flour. So it is, since it's krav legabe mizbech, therefore it's aser. Meaning, basically, it's what we just learned together. It now takes on the status of takrofis avodah zarah because we have such a similar model in our mizbech. Now the Gemara says yes and no. So the oil and the wine and the flour, so we got all that. In other words, on our mizbech, we put all that on our mizbech. So therefore, it has the status of takrofis avodah zarah. So ve'ika kein zrika mishtaberes. Ela parchila anavim v'atar shel shibam lo kein panim ika v'lo kein zrika mishtaberes ika. So over here, if we're talking about a cluster of grapes, if we're talking about kernels of wheat, we don't got it. Meaning, we're not putting that up on our mizbeach, and it's not in its liquid form. So that means to say that we can't view it as zrika, because remember, Rav Yehuda Merava allowed us to stretch our imagination at the beginning of the daf today, and you don't got that. So in other words, how is it that if a cluster of grapes is put on the avodah zarah, so how does it take on the status of takrofis avodah zarah? Amarava amar ula kigon shabbat mitchil akach. So the Gemara gives the suggestion, and that is that when I harvested the grape, so I harvested the grape for the purpose of avodah zarah. Now in the harvesting, so what I do? So I broke the vine off of its source. And that breaking of the vine off of its source, we're going to view that like shechita. In other words, again, so we go now back to the point where I break the vine off. That's like shavar samaka, like we learned in the beginning of today's daf, and that's why it can gain the status of takrovas avodah zarah. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, minay lezovech behem abalas mom lavas kochavim shu pater. Let's say you shecht an animal to the avodah zarah. It just happens to be that's a blemished animal. So if it's a blemished animal, so now you are going to be potter. Okay. Now the Gemara says, okay. Now obviously potter means on a technicality, you're not going to be liable to the death penalty because again, so you didn't do it correctly. What you did is fundamentally wrong. You attempted to be a vote over to avodah zarah. But again, on the standpoint of whether chayav potter, whether this is a mises bidei adam, avodah zarah, or it's not mises bidei adam, it's not. Because the animal's blemished. Now the Gemara said, I'm sorry, shenamar, before we get to the question, shenamar, the pasuk says, zovech lelo kim yacharam, sorry, no, let me read that correctly. Zovech lelo him yacharam bilti l'ashem levado. Lo asotor, ela kein panim. So, the only time you're going to be liable for avodah zarah is when you do something which would have been recognized in the Beis HaMikdash. So you were zovech le'lohim, you shechted it to other gods, and you didn't shecht it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in terms of a liability, it's only going to be when you could have shechted it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning it has to be a tamim, a non-blemished animal. So when you take this blemished animal and you shecht it to the avodah zarah, so it's no good. Okay, that's the statement of Rav Yochanan. Havi bar Rava b'mai. So Rava now is thinking about the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, I'm not following. What kind of blemish are we talking about? Are we talking about the subtlest of blemishes? In other words, whenever the Gemara talks about a subtle blemish, Gemara almost always gives the example of Dukin Shabayim. Dukin Shabayim is basically some sort of cloudy eye. It looks like a cataract. So in other words, and that in halacha is registered as a mum. That is considered a physical blemish where the animal now cannot be offered on the Mizbeach. So hashta livnei noach chazya legavoa bibamididhu lavoriz kochavim mibaye. Now if you are a ben noach, now you want to talk about an interesting Rashi. If you are a ben noach, you know who's a ben noach? Not only the people of the world, but and noach, but us also before Man Torah. Rashi says livnei noach. Calls Manchelo Nidna Torah Af Yisrael Nikru B'nei Noach. B'nei Noach is a term to be used for anybody, including us, before Matan Torah. So, we offered Karbanos all the time before Matan Torah. By the way, even at Mamad Har Sinai we offered Karbanos. But, in other words, we offered Karbanos all the time. Now, what was the standard pre-Torah, or what's the standard for the B'nei Noach even post-Torah? What is the standard? When they're offering an animal, do they have to subscribe to all the rules of a Baal Mum that we now have to subscribe to? And the answer, of course, is no. Meaning for them, and for us before the Torah was given, what's the standard for a carbon? It just simply has to have all of its extremities.
Yeah, but Noach only brought perfect behemoths in the...
Oh, okay, oh, good, good.
In order to...
Okay, we're getting there. The Gemara's going to get there. So basically the Gemara says, so what are you now saying? You're saying that if I shecht an animal for avodah zarah, and the only thing that it has is a cloudy eye, it has a cataract in the eye. So you're telling me that that's not avodah zarah? I don't understand. Once upon a time when we offered karbanos before the Torah was given, so that would have been perfectly fine to offer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so you're telling me now that that won't be a violation of avodah zarah? Of course it would be. So the Gemara says that when the Torah says mikol chai, it means chai doesn't mean just simply mean alive, meaning it has all of its extremities. And that and we know the kosher animals that Noach brought onto the table were there for the purposes of, not all of them, but in other words, but some of them were for the purposes of being makriv on the Mizbeach after Noach emerges from the Teva. So you see that in terms of what is acceptable as a carbon for B'nai Noach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it just needs all of its extremities. So if that's true, so then a Baal Mum animal, where it's a Baal Mum from our standards, meaning for us in the Beis HaMikdash, is not the standards that we're talking about for Avodah Zarah. For Avodah Zarah, the standard is whatever is acceptable on Obama towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So now, this Gemara is going to sound very familiar because just a short 45 days ago in the Daf, so we were doing this Gemara verbatim. This is the Gemara back in Avodah Zarah and Daf Hey. So the Gemara says now, Hai mikol chai mibay lelamutei treifa. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Don't we need the words kol chai to teach us that the animal can't be a treifa? The Gemara says, Me'alachio zera nafka. So the Gemara says, now, we learned that from lachio zera. Hanich laman dama treifa ni yoledes. That Gemara says, that's very good if you subscribe to the opinion that treifa does not give birth. Laman dama treifa yoledes maikel amemar. Meaning, remember, that there are two opinions in terms of whether or not a treifa can procreate. If you subscribe to the opinion that a treifa can procreate, it could be that Noach brings a treifa onto the boat, and it could serve to procreate. So Amakra itcha itcha b'dom amlecha. So the Gemara says no, because the Torah also says that the animals have to be similar to you, Noach. So the Gemara says v'dom Noach ufetreifa. The Gemara makes somewhat of a shocking suggestion that Noach himself was a treifa. So the Gemara says no, he wasn't a treifa. Tamim ksibei. The Torah says that he was tamim. Dilma tamim b'derachav. Maybe he was just perfect in terms of his character traits.
But he was also
tzaddik before creating. Wait, just 1 second. Tzaddik sibbe, the Gemara says he was also a tzaddik. So dimma tamim derechav tzaddik ben ma'isav, the Gemara says, well, maybe in terms of his midos he was perfect. In terms of his action, so he was also perfect as well. Lo mazif samar denoach gufei trefa avai, diisak adachan or trefa avai, amalei rechman adachav aseh ayo, shlamim lo te ayo. Because if you're going to tell me that Noach is a trefa, so then we're going to get to a point of absurdity. Where now, basically, the instructions are, Noach, you know which animals you can only allow onto the table? only animals which are treifa like you. And how is Noach expected to know which animals are a treifa, which animals are not a treifa? Although I'm not sure if that question I'm gonna, you know, we're gonna live and die by that question. But in other words, you just get to the point of absurdity and you just simply know it's not true. How should Nafka mitcha lachio zera lamali? So the Gemara says, okay, so the animals are not a treifa, and I know that because Noach himself is not a treifa. So the Gemara says, so now what do I do with the hachio zera for procreation? The Gemara says, imitcha havamina alakstaf sabama. Ve'afilu zakim ve'afilu sris. The Gemara had the following havamina. If the Torah did not say that the purpose of bringing the animals onto the boat is for procreation and for making sure that every species is still, is still intact, so then one would have thought that maybe the purpose of Noach bringing the animals on the boat is so that Noach can serve as a zookeeper and these animals will serve as company for Noach. And Noach would have now become the best of friends with all the animals of the planet. So kamash mulan lachio zera, but okay, it's a funny havamina. Okay, the you know, dogs I get, but like, you know, alligators. Right? You need them as a pet. Okay. Anyway, but the Gemara says lachio zera to tell me no. The purpose of bringing the animals onto the boat is lachio zera in order to perpetuate the world. Okay. Where do we stand right now today? So really, we stand on three members. First, we finished off yesterday's daf vis-a-vis the question of certain activities on Chol HaMoed which are for tree maintenance, which are okay. Certain activities on Chol HaMoed for tree maintenance are not okay. Gemara says, okay, that's a question. That's a good question. The Gemara left us off with, that's a good question. Then, in terms of where we were today, we learned together the statement of Rav Yehuda Merav in the bottom of Nun Amud Beis, towards the top of Nun Amud Aleph, that when you are doing an avoda for the avodah zara, which at least can be perceived creatively, imaginatively, as one of the ways that we do the avod in the Beis HaMikdash, for example, the breaking of the stick is similar to shechita, so then we're going to call that now an avoda, and even though that's not the normal way it's served, but that's avodah sovikach, and therefore one is going to be chayev for avodah zara. Takrovus avodah zara, the second big topic we covered today, takrovus avodah zara is only when the manner of offering is a mimicked in the way we do it in the Beis HaMikdash. So for example, if they're shechting an animal for the avodah zara, that animal that shechted is takrovus avodah zara. And not subject to bittul, and tumas ohel, that's takrovus avodah zara. If, however, even if it's the avodah in which the manner it's normally served, but if it's not normally done if we don't have a way in which we do this in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not takrovus avodah zara, even though the person doing it is obviously an ovid avodah zara. So as we classically discussed in the beginning of the perek, throwing stones at the Markulis. So the stones themselves, if the stones would be takrovis, so then the stones don't gain the status of takrovis avodah zara, because we don't have such a thing in the Beis HaMikdash, even though the one throwing the stone obviously is an ovid avodah zara. How come the pile of stones is considered an avodah zara? Gemara asked the question, the Gemara gave two answers. One is that the duality of the stone, where it will become part of the avodah zara, and while being thrown, it's a takrovis towards the other stones. Or the more conceptual answer of Ravashi is that the stone not only serves as takrovis for the other stones, but it serves as takrovis for itself. Okay. And then finally, the last thing we ended off with today is the statement of Rav Yochanan, is that if I shecht a bal mum towards the avodah zara, one is going to be exempt. But the Gemara says, but it's not working with the same standards of our Baal Mum. It just simply means that it has to have all of its extremities.